Macmillan Audio presents The Wedding People by Allison Espach. Read for you by Helen Laser. To all the strangers who made a dreary moment magical. It was awful, he cried. Awful, awful. Still, the sun was hot. Still, one got over things. Still, life had a way of adding day to day. Virginia Woolf, Mrs. Dalloway. Tuesday. The opening reception. The hotel looks exactly as Phoebe hoped. It sits on the edge of the cliff like an old and stately dog, patiently waiting for her arrival. She can't see the ocean behind it, but she knows it's there, the same way she could pull into her driveway and feel her husband in his office, typing his manuscript. Love was an invisible wire, connecting them always. Phoebe steps out of the cab. A man in burgundy approaches with such seriousness, the moment feels as if it has been choreographed long ago. It makes her certain that what she is doing is right.
Good evening, the man says. Welcome to the Cornwall Inn. May I take your luggage?
I don't have any luggage, Phoebe says. When she left St. Louis, it felt important to leave everything behind, the husband, the house, the luggage. It was time to move on, which she knew because that was what they had all agreed to last year at the end of the divorce hearing. Phoebe was so stunned by the finality of their conversation, by the way her husband said,
"Okay, take care now,"
like he was the mailman, wishing her well. She could not bring herself to do a single thing after except climb in bed and drink gin and tonics and listen to the sound of the refrigerator making ice. Not that there was anywhere to go. This was mid-lockdown, when she only left the house for gin and toilet paper, and taught her virtual classes in the same black blouse every day, because what else were people supposed to wear? By the time lockdown was over, she couldn't remember. But now Phoebe stands before a 19th-century Newport hotel in an emerald silk dress, the only item in her closet she can honestly say she still loves. Probably because it was the one thing she had never worn. She and her husband never did anything fancy enough for it. They were professors. They were easygoing, relaxed, so comfortable by the fire with the little cat on their laps. They liked regular things. Whatever was on tap, whatever was on TV, whatever was in the fridge, whatever shirt looked the most normal. Because wasn't that the point of clothing? To prove that you were normal? To prove that every day, no matter what, you were a person who could put on a shirt. But that morning, before she got on the plane, Phoebe woke and knew she was no longer normal. Yet she made toast, took a shower, dried her hair, gathered her lecture notes for her second day of the fall semester, opened her closet and looked at all the clothes she once bought simply because they looked like shirts a professor should wear to work. Rows of solid-colored blouses, the female versions of things her husband wore. She pulled out a gray one, held it up in front of the mirror, but could not bring herself to put it on, could not go to work and stand at the office printer and hold her face in a steady expression of interest while her colleague talked at length about the surprising importance of cheese in medieval theology. Instead, she slipped on the emerald dress, the gold heels from her wedding, the thick pearls her husband had lain across her eyes like a blindfold on their wedding night. She got on a plane, drank an impressively good gin and tonic, and it was so nice and cool down her throat, she hardly felt her blisters exiting the plane.
"Right this way, ma'am," the man in burgundy says.
Phoebe gives the man $20, and he seems surprised to be tipped for doing nothing, but to Phoebe it is not nothing. It's been a long time since a man has stood up immediately upon seeing her get out of a car. years since her husband emerged from his office to greet her when she got home. It is nice to be stood for.